Welcome to Food Neighbourhoods on Monocle 24, coming to you from the team behind the menu. All cities have districts the locals treasure as their go-to destination for food and drink, and in this series we get to know them. My name is Markus Hippi, and this time we head to the Lower East Side in New York. An area in flux, the once grungy Lower Manhattan neighbourhood is quickly becoming the best place to eat, drink and be merry in the city, and a desirable place to live. The Lower East Side's history is rich and varied, from once upon time being full of cherry orchards to becoming the home of Eastern European Jewish immigrants who left their mark on the area. Nowadays, from tacos to boutique hotels, this neighborhood has it all covered. Let's now hear from Monocle's bureau chief Ed Stocker and our guide for today, Food Republic's Richard Martin.
I'm here with Richard Martin from Food Republic, who very kindly has agreed to be my guide to the Lower East Side. And Richard, I think this is a good place to start now. Russ and Daughters, perhaps one of the most classic places that still remains here in the Lower East Side.
Yeah, it's great that this is still here. I mean, this is the epitome of old school Lower East Side. This was a place where a lot of Jewish immigrants lived in tenements, and they would come to places like this and they'd get their bagel and cream cheese or smoked fish that would remind them of, you know, their lives back in Eastern Europe. And, not too many places like this exist anymore. Russ and Daughters is one of them, 102 years old at this point.
Let's go inside and place our order.
Let's have a nosh.
Okay, so, Richard, a bagel, obviously. That's the only choice.
A bagel and lox.
Well, the super heapster.
White fish and baked salmon salad with horseradish. That sounds extravagant.
Seeing as we got to keep eating, one bagel?
We have multiple stops. So why don't we split the classic bagel with cream cheese and salmon? What kind of smoked salmon would you recommend?
It's Scottish.
We'll go with the Scottish. We've already had this argument off mic about what the best bagel is. I like pumpernickel, but you're not so sure about that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a sesame guy myself. What do you recommend for a bagel with salmon?
Everything bagel.
Everything?
Really? I thought everything bagel was the thing you're not meant to get if you really know your bagels.
You like something like a sesame, I have sesame. Nice sesame.
Sesame. Let's do sesame.
Fine, you win. Sesame
you,
it is.
You can get a pumpernickel to go. Do they even have pumpernickel?
Yes, right there.
Oh, they do.
So the sesame bagel, would you like toasted?
No, I think fresh.
What kind of cream cheese would you like?
Ooh. Italian?
They've got so many different choices here. I mean, they have caviar cream cheese.
Thank you.
Let's get the horseradish. How do you feel about that?
Oh, yeah, we could do that. Horseradish cream cheese? That sounds clever. I mean, my favorite bagel is the sesame with vegetable cream cheese. What do you eat on pumpernickel bagels?
I might do horseradish.
Oh, really?
I've never had that vegetable
cream cheese.
And you have
strange tastes. You wouldn't make it on the Lower East Side, I don't think.
Well, I don't know if that's right.
Now, I'll bet you 100 years ago they didn't have tofu, scallion, cream cheese here. I'm guessing that that's a newer concoction.
You don't think so? All right. Well, let's go and eat this bagel that we've ordered just a couple of blocks from here, actually, towards Broadway. There's a little park with some basketball courts. Russ and Daughters is essentially a no-frills place. It's takeout only, although they do have a cafe around the corner. But that's kind of what makes it so great. It's just casual. Hey. I feel like we're doing the real New York thing. We're sitting in a park and... We're about to share a bagel. It's a beautiful thing.
Yes. I don't know. It's a usual thing to do, but it's fun.
I kind of like the way it's so unashamedly old school. This really thick waxed paper that the bagel comes in with the imprint of Russ and Daughters, which is a little fish. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, they're paying homage to their heritage of the smoked fish. One of the things that sets this place apart is the care they put into their food. You go get a bagel anywhere in New York City or even really anywhere in America now, and they're just going to slap a bunch of cream cheese on there and hand it to you, and that's it. But at a place like this, they know the heritage. I think they really go the extra mile for you.
Thoughts?
It's pretty delicious. It's a little salty. I mean, the fish is just really nice and subtle.
quite smoked.
Yeah, it's quite smoky, but it's still pretty subtle. And the cream cheese is awesome. The bagel's perfect. I mean, this is a real old school New York bagel. You know, it's small, it's compact. I mean, we each have a half and it's, you know, you can barely see it in our hand. So this is really, you know, it's not one of these bastardized American gigantic bagels that you get in a Midwest chain deli. This is a real throwback to what bagels were when they started.
I'm going to ask you a question as you're having a mouthful, which is a little bit mean, but back in the day, turn of the century, early 20th century, this was a place where a lot of Eastern European Jewish immigrants came, and it was kind of shaped by that. And in a way, Russ and Daughters is part of that dying breed of place, right?
This part of town has come a long way. I mean, it's a very wealthy neighborhood now, but there's still some vestiges of the past. I mean, you still have a couple of old delis. You have these basketball courts that, you know, probably came up in the 60s or 70s, and you have pickup games going on here. You have bars that attract the kind of so-called hipsters to the area at night. It's really diversified in 100 different ways, but it's nice that you can go back in time and imagine what it was like for these people that had just come off the boat and they settled here. I mean, Battery Park and Statue of Liberty are maybe a mile from here at most. And this is what it was like for people that came to America for the first time.
I also think the Bowery is a good example of perhaps how this neighborhood's shifting. It used to be full of Chinese-run stores that used to cater to some of the more established restaurants, right? Selling things like plates and silverware. And now there's a new Ace Hotel going in there soon. We've got Rebel, a Michelin-star restaurant that didn't open that long ago. Don't you think that's almost like a microcosm of the change here?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Rebel's a great point. I mean, they have one of the most well-known sommeliers in America. You can easily go in there and spend $1,000 on one bottle of wine. You know, and you're literally across the street from the old Bowery Missions, where there was a term called Bowery bums that when I was growing up in New York, you know, you'd always be scared of the Bowery because there'd be these kind of homeless people staggering about. You know, now you've got a different kind of drunk staggering out onto Bowery. And
hipster drunk.
Somebody that's paid, you know, quite a lot of money for a fine Beaujolais.
After having that bagel, I think it's time to go a little bit more upmarket. And so we've decided to try, round the corner in fact, Dirty French.
What's like the signature dish? Would you say the French dip is like the best thing?
I would say the French dip, I would say the burger, I would say the bourguignon is also extremely popular. The tartare is amazing.
Oh, the tartare could be good.
But we gotta get the French dip though.
Okay, all right. Tell me about this place, what it kind of represents in the Lower East Side.
Dirty French is part of the new Lower East Side, where you have million-dollar condos that popped up on abandoned lots that had been, you know, left filled with garbage for many years. And it's just within the past like 5 or 6 years that developers saw an opportunity here. So with the people that bought those million-plus dollar condos, you have restaurants like this coming in. Dirty French is part of a food group called Major Food Group that has some of the hottest restaurants in the city. And, you know, when this place opened a little less than 2 years ago, it was the hottest ticket in town. You could not get a reservation here. You had to know somebody to even deign to get in the door. People were clamoring for it, you know. So in a neighborhood that was formerly low rent, now you had people willing to line up and pay $60 for a slab of meat.
In a city that is so sceney when it comes to the food scene, it's almost like the Lower East Side has become the epitome of that scene.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's part of the Lower East Side's evolution. You know, it's always been sceney in a way with either rock bands or bars.
All right, here we go. I'm quite excited about this.
Let's put it right in the middle.
Yeah, that would be great. Thank you.
No problem. Enjoy it, all right?
This is the French dip. I'm assuming the dip is this jus that we have in a little bowl beside us. Talk us through this. Personally, I've never had this before. I don't know if it's an American take on French food.
I think it's more an American take on American food. I mean, it's basically prime rib served in a baguette. That baguette is French, I suppose. And then the word jus, meaning juice, is also French. So I guess that's what makes it a French dip. But I think its roots trace back to Los Angeles. There's two different places in downtown LA that claim to have made the first one, and they're both still kind of making a living off of it today, 60, 70 years later. Here, they've made it a signature dish because this place is called Dirty French, and it's an elegant mashup here of different foods. You know, if you came at night, I don't know that you'd order a French dip. You'd probably order like a mix of like Moroccan and French food. But, you know, for lunch, this has become a real signature item here.
Okay, well, let's have our second lunch and stock up on bread, because it's been a while.
You're going to like this, because unlike the bagel, which is a very well-known thing, the French dip is a little more of a cult food item, but when it's done right, it's one of the most delicious things you'll ever have.
All right, let's try it. You lead the way. I assume you're just going to dip this.
Oh, yeah, you just dip it in. It usually has horseradish on it, too, which gives it a little bit of a zing.
Oh, it looks like it does.
Yeah, so you dip it in and you...
Oh my God, this is truly, truly decadent.
It is, yes.
Mmm. How is that?
It's meaty, it's juicy. It's got some toothsomeness thanks to the baguette. It's just lovely. I wouldn't want to eat the whole thing by myself, so I'm glad we're sharing it.
Yeah, my God, okay, I'm going to get in there. This is almost like something my grandmother would make mixed with, I don't know, something a bit more gourmet. It's kind of the dripping aspect just reminds me of kind of like Sunday dinners.
I was going to say that I'm surprised the British didn't invent this first, because just take part of your Sunday roast, get a baguette, slice it open, slather on some horseradish, and then dip it in some juice, and you got a good sandwich. But I don't know, Americans like everything on a sandwich.
It's basically like the roasting tin and a bit of meat turned into a sandwich.
Right.
It's good, it's good. I might need to have a lie down after this. I'm pretty full after that French dip, but I feel, well, I probably got a little bit more room for this decadent tour of the Lower East Side. Let's maybe, I don't know, take things down a notch, have something to drink maybe, a little bit of light food just to cap things off. Where should we go next?
Well, I was thinking let's cut through all the fat of that meat and go to a place that serves America's favorite new beverage, cider.
We're in Wassail now, and this is almost the epicenter of the Lower East Side. There's so many bars and restaurants just packed into these streets around here, no?
We're here at a place that's known for having like the best selection of cider in New York City. I think the next block down, you have probably the hottest wine bar in the city at Wild Air, which really specializes in natural wine. So you're getting into just how kind of granular this scene is down here.
Cider, America, is that a thing?
Well, it wasn't for a long time. I mean, you typically would have cider in like the north of France or in Spain, parts of Italy, and of course in England and other parts of the UK. For some reason, it was out of favor here. I think people equated cider with a sweet drink. I wanted to try this one because it's from Maine. I'm really interested in, can the terroir of the apple change how the cider is?
Well, Richard, we've also got some food here. Now, last time I was here, it was all vegetarian. They branched out, so we've actually got some pork belly here. You know, tasty, fatty, succulent. And also, I feel that the cider kind of is good for that because of the kind of crispness.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is probably something that goes back to Spain for centuries, so they've been doing it that long. There's probably some reason why, and there's not a lot of places you can find something like this in New York, so it's great that it exists here.
I also have next to us Sabine, who's one of the owners. She's snuck up on us as we've been drinking. Quite amazing that you have a cider bar that is also on Orchard Street.
It turns out that there used to be orchards on the street, which is why it was named that. Unfortunately, they were not apples, they were cherries, but whatever, they were orchards, so we'll take that. Because before this was all built up, it was countryside, it was farmland all around here.
Ready for dessert, Richard?
I think I'm done, Ed.
All right, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure exploring the Lower East Side with you.
All right, see you next time.
That was Food Republic's Richard Martin, who took our New York bureau chief, Ed Stocker, on a tour to the Lower East Side. This was episode 3 of Food Neighborhoods here on Monocle 24. We are back next Tuesday with episode 4 that takes us to Tokyo. For more food and drink stories, tune into The Menu every Friday at 1900 London time. I am Markus Hippi. Thank you for listening and goodbye.